Super Gamecast 64, episode 86. Today on the show, guys, we're talking tons of stuff. We got Outlast 2, Flint Hook, Voodoo Vince Remastered, quite a few different news segments. Let's get on with the show. Who wants to hit that DJ?
Start the show.
All right, that works.
DJ.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's another episode of Super Gamecast 64, the video game show that's also a comedy show.
The show, the comedy game, that's a video show.
If you don't laugh, you're a sociopath. With me, as always, is Kevin.
That's why'd you intro me?
Because you're talking before I even introed you.
I don't care.
It's so rude. All right, that's
this
Kevin.
Is Matt.
That's me.
See, that's what you get.
And who's that over there?
Oh, I'm Tyler.
Yeah, he's got to introduce himself.
Tyler gets his own intro. Guys, it's been a while since we could sit down on the show. I think I've used that joke already. How have y'all been?
I'm doing okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Nothing
I'm
really?
Real busy.
You busy boy?
Working a lot, yeah.
That's okay. Tyler, you busy boy as well?
Yeah, I'm moving.
We've all been busy boys lately.
I'm moving to Japan.
You're moving to Japan, so you don't have to do imports anymore.
He's moving to Japan so he can make some friends with high schoolers.
Ooh. I think I'm turning Japanese.
Well, that's
you know that song's about jerking off, right?
No, I didn't. Actually, what do you know?
The more you know. Guys, without further ado,
I don't know the rest of the words to that song.
Let's get into
news. That's basically
news, it. Because we got quite a bit of stuff.
Yeah.
First off the bat, let's get to some speculation. Eurogamer.net goes ahead and puts out a report last week saying they think, and Eurogamer's usually right, and I wouldn't doubt it if they're right on this one, that the Nintendo company, you know them, they made the Wii, they are releasing the SNES Classic just in time for holiday 2017. This is purely speculative, of course. It has not been announced, but...
Has anybody considered the fact that holiday kind of means something different in British English?
No. Elaborate.
So, like, a holiday is basically a vacation to Brits.
Yeah.
So, saying that it's coming out for the holiday...
It's coming out for the winter,
you know,
holiday.
That, damn it. You're ruining it. You ruined the joke.
So, the next time you take a vacation, it'll be out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, go take a vacation, it'll be out.
Good or, joke, Kevin. I like the joke.
Thanks,
or
Tyler.
It'll be coming out more like November or December in North America for specifics. Guys, I thought it'd be fun to start the show with a little speculation. We know the NES Classic came out. There was maybe three of them produced. There was 30 games on all three of the systems that people bought, apparently. People say they own NES Classics. I highly doubt it. I've never seen one in real life.
I own one.
I think it's...
Wait a minute. They sold out in seconds.
I own one because of my Uncle Microsoft.
Well, he's not the same thing.
It doesn't make any sense at all.
He works in Nintendo now.
Oh, it's Uncle Nintendo?
No, he's still Uncle Microsoft, but he works at Nintendo.
Oh, Nintendo. That's if you heard that, that's a good time to introduce Calla, the studio dog.
She's just grunting up a storm.
The dog with the most. She's a little bit perturbed today. Guys, if there was an SNES Classic, give me your top five NES games you'd want it, starting with Tyler.
Mega Man X.
Kevin.
SNES Classic?
Yeah. The SNES Classic, that's probably
Super Mario All-Stars.
Okay, see, I said that on my list that I posted, but isn't it like a cop-out because it's like six games in one?
Yeah, okay,
that's
all right.
Super
all right.
Cheating.
That's okay.
Because right, to right. That point, I would also say Kirby Superstar, which we'll never get.
Well, it's...
You took mine. Mega Man X is going to be mine.
I need that.
All right, Super Metroid, then.
Super Metroid, that's a shoe-in. I was thinking...
At the same time, though, Kirby Superstar is technically its own...
Thing,
like all the way through to the end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is still a cohesive game.
It's more like six Kirby experiences.
So is Mario All-Star. It's just six different experiences.
You could think of each story as like Spring Breeze versus Meta Knight's Revenge as like worlds.
Game.
As the worlds that you have to go through in Kirby.
Yeah.
Or so, Super Mario 3 then.
Mario 3 All-Stars Edition.
I actually already said Super Metroid, so go ahead.
I'm going to say Donkey Kong Country. That's an obvious
shoe-in.
Good one.
We'll
get that.
What about Mario Kart?
Yeah, for sure.
Dude, Mario Kart be dope.
Tyler, let's keep going.
I mean, I would like to see Yoshi's Island on there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm 30. We're
really
going to
get
most of these. Here's the ones that I'm curious about. Will we see things like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 4, Turtles
Battle
in Times? Okay. Battletoads is not as good as Turtles in Time. I mean, right now,
Super Double Dragon. No,
look, if you want Battletoads for SNES, just buy an SNES and then call the Gold and Silver pawn shop in Las Vegas and ask them if they have Battletoads.
Is that the new thing now? You don't call GameStop; you call the Gold and Silver.
No, they had a problem with that for a while. Did you not hear about that?
No,
yeah, the guy. Okay, so the Gold and Silver pawn shop, aka the guys from Pawn Stars, you know,
the
family with the most chins in America.
Yeah,
they kept getting calls.
One of them named Chin.
No, you're thinking of Chum.
Chum? Close. You everybody's, just removed two letters.
Everybody's favorite.
That was close.
Everybody's favorite Pawn Star, Chin.
Chin. The one you can tell because of his chin. Hence his name. So they were having problems, huh?
Yeah, so they kept getting phone calls from people asking if they have Battletoads.
For Super Nintendo?
For Super Nintendo. It was like a year and a half ago, maybe even 2 years ago at this
people
point.
People just late to the party on the GameStop
dude,
calls.
Oh my god.
So, as we wrap up this fun little speculation, is there any... Let's give one more round of the true... Dig deep. Dig deep into your nostalgia. Forget all the triple A's, you know.
Oh, you want to fight about it.
Forget your Donkey Kongs, your
I think the
Zeldas.
One I'm about to say was on Sega, so don't laugh at me
no,
if
go
I'm
for
wrong.
It.
I was going to say Super Ghosts and Goblins.
No, that was on SNES.
That's what I thought.
Super Ghouls and Ghosts is
thank
what you
yeah, sorry, my bad, my bad.
It was actually only on console. It wasn't in an arcade.
That's what I thought.
Ghosts and Goblins was the Sega one you were thinking
right.
of.
Right.
Yeah. It was also...
Oh, never mind. I was going to say Altered Beast, but that
was... Altered Beast was Sega.
Yeah, that was Sega.
And it was mainly arcade. I'm going to say for my final pick, Disney's Aladdin.
Like, are we talking...
Oh, yeah.
Things that are likely to show up?
Nah, man.
Zombies ate my neighbors.
Things that we want. Because I'm going to say Soldiers of Fortune, but they're not going to do that.
Yeah, well, yeah. They wouldn't do
I
half
love
of the
game.
Ones that I picked, but...
I don't know about that. Ooh.
Star Fox, you get Star Fox, you're going
well,
to get F-Zero, and you're going to get Pilot Wings as well, all the Mode 7 things.
Zombies Ate My Neighbors, is that Sega as well?
Zombies Ate My Neighbors was on Super Nintendo.
That's what I thought.
But I don't think that's it's, once again, when you get into Super Nintendo stuff,
those
there's
are
like,
some real deep cuts.
There's the question of licensing. What's up, Tyler?
Final Fantasy IV?
Ooh,
I think
yeah.
if we were to get one, it would be Final Fantasy III.
Yeah, probably.
Because that was, because the way they did it.
Chrono Express. Trigger.
Chrono Trigger, Secret of Mana.
Oh, yeah.
All those yeah. good RPGs.
Yeah. Well, because there was RPG love on NES.
Super Mario RPG.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh,
Super
yeah.
RPG.
Oh, yeah.
All right, guys. We can
There'd
keep,
be
we
a
can
lot
keep,
of good
We can
games.
Keep going. One or two more. one or two more.
Tetris Attack.
Yeah. Because Dr. Mario was on there, and I don't think... Wasn't there Tetris versus Dr. Mario at some point
about,
on SNES?
I want to say yes.
What about Link to the Past?
Oh, yeah,
I thought we
get that
Zelda.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to get more of the deep cuts.
Oh, the deep cuts. Okay, let me think.
The deep cuts.
Mm. Like, Mario Paint wouldn't be on there. They'd have to give you an attachment.
Yeah, that, I don't think unless... Yeah, no, that wouldn't happen.
I mean, would you pay $100 for it? Would you pay more than $100 for a
no.
Super NES?
I don't think they
with
would...
mouse attachment.
I don't think they would bother with the manufacturer.
Ooh, what about Tom Clancy's Rainbow 3?
Yes! You mean Tom Clancy's Rainbow 3 Siege
the prequel
Vegas.
To... Right, the prequel to Tom Clancy's Rainbow 6.
Pro Skater 4.
Yes.
Of course. Tyler, you remember that one, right?
Of course I do.
Yeah, it came with the Rumble Pack.
Speaking of other things that are happening in news, Summer Games Done Quick 2017, which we covered the game list last episode, the official schedule has gone live. We talked about the games in quite a bit of detail.
Yeah, I'm looking at it here, and it actually just says Mike Tyson's Punch-Out for 4 days.
For 4 days straight, all blindfolded.
Summer Games Done Slow.
Yeah, but the audience is blindfolded, so it's just a blank screen. You hear super Punch-Out noises in the background.
Funny story. About Punch Out, I actually have a hernia right now in my belly button.
So you want
I feel a spiritual connection to King Hippo.
Yeah,
like if I got punched in the stomach, my pants would probably fall off.
If you drop those pants, you know it's KO time. So SGDQ 2017, for those who don't know, is a Games Done Quick event. It's a speed running marathon that takes place over 7 days. All the donations occurred during it go towards Doctors Without Borders. It's a great thing. It happens from July 2nd to the 9th. I compiled a big old list for a 90s kid of what you should watch, but real quickly, I'm going to go down. Funny enough, Sunday, July 2nd, we kick off after the pre-show at 1 p.m. Near Automata, one-handed in 2 hours. So that's
damn.
Kicking off the show. Once again, these times are all in Eastern Standard Time. If you're listening to this for some reason after the show or after the marathon has started, like these times won't be correct. Metroid Prime, 100%, 456 on Sunday. Also got Diddy Kong Racing and Luigi's Mansion and Castlevania Symphony Night that Sunday. Monday, Okami, The Lion King, Crash Bandicoot, Super Monkey Ball Deluxe, Mirror's Edge. Some of those might be fun.
Those
Tuesday,
would be cool.
Donkey Kong Country or Donkey Kong 64, Cluster Truck, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2, Banjo-Kazooie, Pokemon Puzzle League. Wednesday, Doom 2016, Resident Evil, Ninja Gaiden 3. Super Dude, Meat Boy, Mega
Cluster,
Man X.
Cluster Truck has to be a hard one to do, because
yeah,
you know, you just need to be objectively good at the game, because it's...
I don't think there's
as
many
far
skips.
As I know. Well, right, and as far as I know, it's procedurally generated.
Like, no, it's not.
Well, to some degree, the trucks... I mean, I think all the trucks are the same when they spawn.
It's physics-based.
But it's physics-based, so there's probably a lot of, like...
Well, I mean, yeah.
A lot more variables in that type of game than any other SGD.
A little bit games. Different from random generation. Yeah. But, yeah, no, I get what you're saying. Thursday, as we pull into the end, kind of the marathon, Elder Scrolls Oblivion, Ratchet and Clank, Shadow of the Colossus, Portal, Chrono Trigger, Mario Kart 64, and all that Tetris stuff. And then we end the night with Legend of Zelda Link to the Past, Swordless. Oh. And then as we get into the thick stuff, the weekend.
Dude, Shadow of the Colossus would be really good, too.
Friday, we have Legend of Zelda Awakening DX, Shadow Complex Remastered, Mega Man 4, Star Wars Jedi Knight 2, Jedi Outcast, Kingdom Hearts, and then that giant Super Mario series Warpless Relay Race that we were talking about. It's every single 2D Mario game in under 2 hours and 55 minutes.
Holy shit.
Or at least all the classic ones. And then Final Fantasy 7 in under 8 hours. We'll be wrapping up that night. And then Saturday, we have Super Hot, Titanfall 2, Dark Souls 3, Super Mario 64, Majora's Mask, Earthbound will be closing off the show. Earthbound in under 4 hours and 25 minutes. Now, that is, of course, not the entire schedule. So if you're sitting there going, how am I supposed to hear all those and write them down? Go to gamesdonequick.com. At the top, you hit event info for SGDQ, and you'll see the entire schedule. There's over 192 hours of gaming content to watch. Guys, we talked about this last week, but after I've said that, is there anything specific that you guys are really looking forward to now? I know you were getting excited.
I basically just told you everything I'm excited for.
You're amped for those.
I just want to know how long, like, what they have to skip.
Yeah.
To do things like Kingdom Hearts in four hours, 3 hours.
Yeah, I think what we'll see is we've been subjected to like 6 or 7 AGDQ and SGDQs at this point. These games have all been run several times. I think they only bring on the real big hitters when there's been new things. That's why we haven't seen Ocarina of Time in ages, because there's been nothing new that's come out of that game. No better run you're going to see. But the fact they have all these crazy games like Shadow of the Colossus.
Or Nier Automata.
Like Nier Automata, well, brand new. Dark Souls 3 with all the bosses and all the DLC. Mm-hmm. We're probably going to see not only new strategies and new ways to skip parts of the game, but probably some on-the-fly stuff. Because Dark Souls 3 latest DLC came out just this last, week? Week and a half?
Two or three weeks ago.
Yeah.
So we're talking about 3 months to get a marathon-safe rundown.
Right.
Zelda Breath of the Wild
seem like, to you... You know, if you were in that position, would you be promising something that you're just not sure will actually, like...
Yeah, well, and that's the whole reason that Breath of the Wild is a bonus game, is because there's no truly safe marathon run. They can play it and get 25 minutes into their speedrun, and if they get hit once, they're dead. That's how
I mean, if I were speedrunning Breath of the Wild, I would just find Cass and just listen to him play accordion all day, and that'd be the end of it.
Well, and then that's eventually everyone falls asleep, and then you just skip to the credits, and you're like, I beat it, guys!
Yep, nobody's the wiser.
Just back out to the title screen, hit credits, done.
So SGDQ 2017, I'm sure we'll be covering some of the cooler runs. I know I'm going to be doing articles for 90s Kid on some of the cooler runs. That's, once again, July 2nd to the 9th, so we have quite a few months. But what we don't have time for, or what we don't have to wait for, is this next piece of news. Tyler, this is more your kind of speed. Why don't you read off what's going on over in the Blizzardland?
We're talking about D.Va as a warrior class in Heroes of the Storm, my dudes.
I also want to throw out there, because I did just see this, Genji is also going to be in.
Yeah, Genji he's was been recently, announced. And then D.Va was just announced earlier, I think today or the day before. But
I don't know how I feel about them double dipping, because...
What do you mean?
For all intents and purposes, they're the exact same character. Like,
real quick,
Genji and D.Va?
Real quick, before we get into this discussion, I just want to say that D.Va is coming with the newest patch, which will be launching today, the 25th or April 26th. Not to date the podcast, but it'll be, by the time you're hearing this, if you haven't already played it, you can play as D.Va.
Yeah.
Continue your discussion.
What I mean is not that they are the same character intrinsically. What I mean, rather, is that they are the same character in Heroes as they are in Overwatch.
I think that's the point.
To some degree. I think part of D.Va's kit in Overwatch, the uniqueness of that is the block, the shield.
Yeah, sure.
It'll be interesting to see how they implement that in Heroes.
Are you the kind of person, Kevin, would you rather have a character built from the ground up to more reflect the game it's playing, or would you like to see a character... Because that's the thing. If I'm playing... I don't play Overwatch, and I don't play Heroes, but if I were to have played, I would rather see D.Va's, like, noteworthy Overwatch skills transferred to that game, but I can understand people who want to see D.Va as a character, but her skills more wrapping with the meta and how kind of, not Overwatch, but Blizzard's Heroes of the Storm plays.
Well, the more I think about it, the cooler it is, too. So for those of you who don't know, in Overwatch, D.Va is a, she's Korean, right? She's a Korean gamer who rides around in this giant mech suit.
Yeah.
Once you defeat the mech suit, she hops out and she has no intrinsic skills outside of the mech suit, she's just got like a pistol. And so you have to wait until your mech suit's back up and you can summon it again.
I mean, it's fast.
It is.
And she's got the pistol is a nice repeater. It's pretty accurate.
And she's quick.
And she's fast, but she's got no health, no armor, no special stuff.
So it'll be interesting to see how they implement that in Heroes. However,
I'm excited for it.
Heroes is just a whole different beast than something like
League or
its
Dota
contemporaries. Or, yeah. Yeah, League and Dota. Where League, you have all original cast. They built the lore in the world, and then they just build characters around that lore.
And they just consistently release like overpowered and shitty characters. We'll talk about that later.
That's not true. In Heroes,
I don't know what you mean, Matthew.
In Heroes, Blizzard already has all the fodder they need.
An ARAM.
Go ahead,
Blizzard. It's okay. In Heroes, Blizzard already has all the fodder that they need because they're just recreating characters that they've already created, but in a MOBA setting.
Yeah, but that's the whole draw of Heroes of the Storm is it's playing as the characters you know and remember in
precisely.
MOBA setting.
But I think that's kind of why in Heroes specifically, I like the tertiary characters like Sergeant Hammer. Like Sergeant Hammer, I mean, it's just.
You mean Captain Hammer?
No, Sergeant Hammer.
Sergeant Hammer.
Where's
she
Dr.
drives
Horrible?
Around in a tank.
Where's Dr. Horrible?
It's just a tank from StarCraft. It's a Terran tank, but she just so happens to have a character name.
Blizzard's like, hey guys, we're running out of character. A tank? A tank. Yeah, but you gotta put a voice in it, though.
Can we
man.
Do that? Can we do that? Do
yeah.
we have...
Well, oh no, here comes Gabe. Yeah, no, Gabe, we're doing... It's a tank, Gabe. Great, guys. Half-Life 3 is in the other room. Playable. Alpha. Don't tell anyone. Have we said everything we want to say about D.Va?
Yes.
I'm sure we'll get some more impressions on her after Tyler or Kevin have had a chance with hands-on time.
Don't
Next,
you worry.
Here's for
Phrasing.
All of our 2D fighting fans, those fans of superheroes against Mega Mans.
Mega Mans.
Tyler's amping up official release date for Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. Kevin?
There was a leak today. Did you guys see this?
No, go.
About Marvel vs. Capcom?
No.
They leaked a lot of characters.
I saw in the official trailer that Rocket Raccoon's in there, but...
Rocket Raccoon is in there.
Real quick, September 19th is when you can play this game. What were the contents of the leak, Kevin?
Well, the leak was 8 characters.
Nice!
All of them were recurring.
Okay.
Except for one.
Who is?
Ultron.
Dude!
Ultron's gonna be in.
So he's just gonna be like that
dude. So is Sigma, apparently.
Really? Sigma?
Yeah.
Wait, you're telling me Sigma's
That's
gonna be?
Cool.
For
I'm pretty
those
sure.
Who don't know, Sigma is a boss from Mega Man.
I don't know if you guys watched the thing today.
No.
But apparently, Ultron and Sigma like fuse to become the ultimate bad guy for this.
That's pretty sweet.
And he just gut punches X, and it's like super bad.
Does he hit him with a laser net?
Oh no! No.
I can't wait for
He's
this game.
He's got a super cool sight, though, I'm sure.
I can't wait for this game, but I'm really bad at Marvel vs. Capcom. I'm really good at it.
I could
really
probably hold my
really
own against
bad
you.
At fighting games.
I'm pretty good the first week, because I just find whoever the cheapest person is and then spam online and get my ranked wins. But, I'm not like Mortal Kombat. I'm good at Mortal Kombat.
You sit looking the whole time.
I ain't good at Marvel. We'll see. I'm sure they'll show off at E3, the different rosters.
What I don't understand is why they bother putting Marvel on this when it could just be a Capcom fighting game. I only ever play as like Strider and Zero,
because,
you know, all those folks.
Because you're part of like the 20%, whereas the rest of the 80% of people really like the Marvel stuff a lot.
Comic books suck.
Well, yeah, but that's you're in the minority there. Comic books are, yeah, I guess factually comic books are not bad because they're so...
There's just so far of a backlog, I can't get into it. That's not
well. Okay, I can understand.
Yeah, but and I mean,
they
tried to bring new people in the new 52, and like you could.
It's very complex.
That is a totally different franchise with the DC.
Speaking of things that have gone on for a long time or that are old and maybe not that great, but looking back,
please don't bring up my age on the podcast.
Kevin just turned 42.
No,
you
I didn't.
Are the
I didn't.
Oldest.
I am the oldest.
But he's not 42.
I'm not 42.
Guys, this game is today. 42. It's not 42. Limited Run Games is announced today that they are producing 6,000 physical copies. of Night Trap for Xbox One and PS4. Those who, you guys are giving me puzzled looks. You
man, what the hell is Night Trap?
You guys don't know. You might know it by name. Night Trap is the FMV game in which you played as a bunch of girls during a pillow fight sleepover and tried to escape from house intruders. There's no official. They didn't say anything about digital. But it came out on the 32X, came out on Sega CD, on PC. This is a controversial for its time because it featured, you know, violence against women, and there was these young teenage girls in FMV, so some of it was violent content. But this is kind of not a cult classic. It's kind of known for being bad, but interesting because of its controversy and its history. Like I said, it's a game that's old as the 32X. We're talking back further into the 90s. This is definitely like a 20-plus-year-old game. It's definitely a game that I didn't see coming because they had a failed Kickstarter 3 years ago to bring it back. So it's almost like the Kickstarter came out, the people talked, but not enough people were like, hey, let's get this game. And then they were like, all right, let's do it anyways. It is a limited run, but it's not as limited because it is 6,000 copies. Now you might be saying, 6,000 worldwide, that's kind of small. Like, that's crazy, but you gotta understand, this is a very niche game, a very niche market.
That's hilarious.
As you guys look at the stuff, and
this is terrifying.
Familiarize yourself. Shout out to the bird in the back.
For those of you like me who don't know what FMV means,
full motion video.
Thank you, Matt. I was gonna say that. Basically, instead of relying on rendered sprites for the graphical content of the game, they have fully recorded video.
Yeah. So think back to like. What was the one with Mark Hamill where he's on the spaceship? Star Commander?
No. I think it's the War Stars.
Yeah, War Stars.
Larry Skywalker.
No, that's Star Wars. He was in another. It was a PC like action game. It was PC flights. It doesn't matter. It's just type in Mark Hamill.
This shit is the most terrifying shit I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's very weird. So it's like kind of laid out like you have a bunch of cameras and you can see all the different rooms of the house. But
they can see you.
Yeah, and the story plays out over the night. So you're looking for the different. It's one of those games where you're going to play a bunch of different times until you learn where the intruders come in and how to home alone their asses, because that's kind of the idea of the game. But yeah, very, very weird game, very unique game, and very controversial for its time. No word on official release date or anything like that, but I would assume if they already have the box art, probably by the end of the year. Guys,
it's time for the best part of the show.
That's all I really had for news. Not yet. We don't have to get to the best part of the show quite yet. Probably maybe after the first two games we got here.
The games are the best part.
The games are the best part. I thought you were like subverting what I was.
Are we talking about something?
Yeah.
Let's talk about something.
Welcome back, Space Command.
Welcome back, Mark. Outlast 2, guys. This is a game that came out today at this point. By the time you're listening to this, it's out. It's the sequel to Red Barrel's indie horror game. It was like Amnesia. You couldn't fight. You could only run and hide. The original took place in an insane asylum. You were a guy with a camcorder just trying to investigate your journalism. Now, flash forward 2017, Outlast 2. You are a man and a woman, team of investigative journalists, flying over the Arizona wilds.
Husband and wife.
Waifu and husbando. And you're flying over the Arizona wilds because you've heard of a mysterious murder in which a woman was found strangled, but they've classified it as a suicide. An impossible murder, one could say. Your helicopter crash lands. You meet a cult.
Spoiler alert.
This is the first cutscene. You meet a cult and they take away your wife. And now you're on a trip through Resident Evil 7, chasing down your girlfriend and trying to save her from a bunch of crazy people in kind of the South, but more West than where Resident Evil was set, which was Louisiana. Let's talk. Okay, Kevin, you played a teeny bit of this.
It's Arizona, which I don't know why, but it's just like intrinsically creepy because of that. So one of the first things you see when you boot up Outlast 2 is a little disclaimer about how much gore and sex and religious connotation the game has. And I was like, okay, that's a little weird. Like, you know, in some really extreme games, you'll see that, but it's never as explicit as this one was.
And it ends with... Please enjoy.
Yeah.
Instead of like.
Please enjoy.
Parental or anything like that. It's just like, yeah, this game has tons of gross and brutal murder and nudity. Enjoy.
Well, so based on the electronic software's rating board, this game is mature, which means I'm not supposed to be playing it. But I stayed up past my bedtime.
Nice.
And I started playing it. And so basically, yeah, your helicopter crash lands. Your camera is perfect. It's in perfect condition.
Let me tell you, dude, for how many times you drop your camera in this game or lose it and it never comes... Like, in the first Outlast, you drop your camera and it, like, a floor down and it cracks and it's just cracked for the rest... Like, in this game, you do some crazy... I won't spoil anything and I can't really think of anything specifically off the top of my head, but in Outlast 2, you can fall down a goddamn mountain, come back, and your shit's, like, has more battery...
It's like an adamantium camera.
Yes, yeah. Like, you lose your camera so many times and it's just, like, comes back clean as all hell. Nothing's really messed up on it. It's kind of like that whole handheld camera genre footage movie thing. It's like, why are you holding onto the camera still? I mean, it makes sense because he's an investigative journalist and you want to get the story out, but...
So...
Go ahead.
You stumble out of your helicopter, you find your perfect camera.
Yep.
The first thing you come across is this dude, I'm assuming is the pilot. Maybe not, I don't know. Anyway, he's crucified on a tree with wrapped in barbed wire. Mm-hmm. And your character goes, oh, that didn't happen in the crash.
Yeah. No shit.
You don't say.
You're stumbling along and you come to a split rail fence with a house. And he goes, oh, thank God, a town. I'm like, that is not a town, my
dude.
That's
a shed.
That is a glorified shed. There's probably just a wheelbarrow in there.
And dead bodies.
And corpses. Like a dead cow with a pitchfork in it.
Hell yeah.
And, dude, this game is so fucked up.
I will take it from here.
Yeah.
Outlast 2, without spoiling much, I did a big ol' review on it. I ended up giving a 7.5, which is lower than I would have expected.
I have to say that intro scene was really cool.
Yeah. The thing about Outlast 2 is it's longer than its predecessor, and it's also bigger than its predecessor, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's better. Outlast 2 has a lot of cool things with specific phobias that I really liked. So beyond the gore and the blood and the guts and, you know, the jump scares, there's certain parts of this game, like a part where you go over a giant lake in just a little shanty, like four-log raft, and the water underneath starts, you know, ooh. And so there's phobias like fear of the open water, being buried alive, some more morbid stuff that I won't spoil. But there's a lot of parts in this game that are really, really good and focus on individual horrors and things that are really going to make you scared specifically to your person. But then the rest of it is kind of like, look at all this really, for lack of a better word, fucked shit that we can show you.
It's just a lot of depravity. It's depraved. It's almost like the writers were like, literally, how can I take something that is religion adjacent
mm-hmm.
and turn it into this like sex crazed murder fuck pile?
Yeah, so the
whole, and that's what this game is.
The whole entire thing is really about the cult, and they're very parallel to like a Roman Catholic,
yeah,
like a
Knopf.
Sullivan Knoth. He leads this cult. And as you go and you're searching for your wife, you get flashbacks to when you were a fourth grader at this Catholic private school, some backstory. That stuff was actually pretty cool, pretty predictable. But that's my problem with Outlast 2, is that the story feels more like a container rather than... The first one felt like it was trying to tell you something. There was reasonings behind all the grotesqueness. In Outlast 2, oftentimes they do so much and it kind of gets into the realm of bad taste. I guess it's kind of proper for a trigger warning, but there's like...
A pile of dead toddlers?
Yeah, like, there's like a part where you come in, there's like a lady rocking a dead fetus. Oh, yeah, no, yeah, you saw the pile of dead toddlers. Later on, you go in, there's like, there's just a shack, and there's just like four open caskets of these decomposing toddlers and a lady like rocking a dead fetus, and you can't interact with any of it. There's documents you'll find as you go over that are written by the townspeople who are part of the cult, or even the leader of the cult himself. And once again, trigger warning, like this,
this is
not safe for work. Put it in your headphones. Like, they're talking about like how slitting a child's throat makes them wet with lust, and just really sexually depraved stuff that doesn't really... There was some of that stuff...
It doesn't add a whole lot to the game. It's already fucking scary and weird, and it really gives you a very uncomfortable feeling, and then they add stuff like that, and it's just...
It does help a little bit to aid, because it is just absolutely disgusting. But the parts where Outlast 2 succeeds the most is when it just chills out.
Right.
Lets you enjoy the silence, lets you enjoy the whole entire atmosphere, and bask in the suspense. When they're trying to throw like 18,000 dismembered bodies, eventually it's just kind of like watching a Saw movie. You just go on autopilot,
yep.
And the gore doesn't affect you anymore.
You become desensitized to it. And I gotta tell you, some of the most effective stuff, and part of the reason I could not... I physically could not pull myself to play much more, was that intro. It was really well done.
Yeah.
You're walking through this town, you come across a shack, the first one you can open, and there's a guy, you know, dead on the table, and he has a suicide note next to him, and it's very... they really bury the lead, you know. There's nothing about the depravity. It's just sort of like a I can't do this anymore sort of thing. And So you keep going, and the music is slowly swelling, and all this other stuff is happening. And if you're paying attention, there's some really cool ambient things. And again, you're viewing this all through the night vision of a camera. So, you know, you're walking down a path and there's a rocking horse that's slowly rocking in the wind. And, you know, I'm walking down this path and I kind of want to get a look of what's around me. And so I look to my right and there's a split rail fence. And just beyond the split rail fence is just this deep woods. But there's a guy. There's just a guy standing on the other side of the split rail fence just staring at me.
Yeah, and that's one of the biggest things about...
That is so much more scary to me than any jump scare, because I could walk past that, and because I know the how games work, I know that's a quick time... That's like... not a quick time event, but it's an event that's programmed to occur at that time. But I could have walked past that, and that character would have been staring at me, and I never would have known. And that's creepy as hell to me.
Yeah, and that's my main issue with Outlast 2, is that they spend way too much time on... It's kind of broken up into three acts, almost. Not really. Like, the story has different story beats and different subplots, but mainly it's like, walk through the desert for 4 hours, then we're going to start focusing on the backstory stuff, and then we're going to end in a mine. And it's a game that could have been better if it was 4 hours shorter, in my opinion. It was a game that also would have been better if they would have lowered the amount of enemies, because unlike Outlast 1, whereas Outlast 1 was very clear how to hide and kind of escape from them, and it was very like, oh, go down this corridor, swing around them. Outlast 2 is open, and character encounters become more of an annoyance than they become any sort of like suspense. It's more about, okay, how can I get past this encounter where I'm going to die if I get within an enemy's range, versus, ooh, I'm scared because this enemy's going to kill me. It's very much like it gets gamified and you're just trying to escape. So I think like almost Outlast 2 would have been better if they would have given you like a pea shooter, just something that could like kind of knock them back a little bit, because there's so much area that eventually you lose yourself. And like Kevin said, you look at most of this through night vision on your camera, and for a lot of the end of the game, I would just turn off the night vision, and when it was dark, just kind of bust through and go toward... Because the game is actually really, really good looking. And it sucks at 60% of it if you're trying to see where you're actually going. And you can't cheese it by raising the brightness. You have to look at this kind of grainy
There's camera. No brightness option.
I gave a 7.5. I think it is a decent game. I think it's a good time if you're looking for shock horror. I think at a certain point they rest too heavily on the gore and try to put that more towards the forefront, when I thought the original did the psychological stuff best.
I also agree with you. Now, the caveat is I did not beat the game, so I can't give it a fair rating. But from what I played, I would also give it a 7.5, comparing it to something like Resident Evil, where Resident Evil had just this... It was an atmospheric quality that I think Outlast was just shy of.
And also Resident Evil had a little bit more variation, even though it was a much smaller area.
Yeah.
You felt like, oh, I'm in the main mansion, I'm in the side shed, I'm in the mother's area, I'm in the son's area. Outlast 2 is just kind of like, go through the wilderness, a bunch of crazy shacks. Which, you know, it works, it doesn't work at some points, but I'm excited to see what Outlast 3 will bring, because at this point, I mean, there kind of has to be an Outlast 3, not because of the story, but you don't just make Outlast 1 and 2 and spend that much time improving from 1 to 2 and don't put out a third that's going to be a $60 title. I'm sure we'll see that one in a few years, but for now, I'd say Outlast 2 is a slight recommendation. If you're really into horror stuff, like the depraved, messed up horror films, you'll probably enjoy this. If you're squeamish at all, don't even think about it.
Enjoy it.
Next, we have a game that all three of us played. Tyler played this the most recently.
I just want to say I didn't leave through that. I was scared listening to them.
Tyler is not a huge fan of horror games. We already made him play one horror game this year, which was Resident Evil 7.
But you seemed to like that. Play that.
You played a little bit of it.
You seemed to like it, though.
I mean, it was interesting.
I would rather... I think it is worth noting. Tyler brings up a very good point. I enjoyed watching Resident Evil 7. I don't know that I could have played it.
I think I would rather watch someone play Outlast 2, but I would rather play Resident Evil 7.
My problem is that I don't care for horror games in general, so I wouldn't have the patience to like be persistent.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the reason I put Outlast 2 down so quickly, is because it just, like you said, with the enemies, I encountered my first enemy and I just kept dying. And
you're bad at games, so...
Whatever.
Speaking of people who are not bad at games, here's Tyler. He beat this game flawlessly without dying.
I did, first try. Rather simple. I'm not really sure why people have so much trouble with this game.
What's it called, Tyler?
Level 1 run, Tyler AGDQ 2017.
This is Flint Hook.
Yeah.
This game, this beautifully constructed game. I don't know who it's by or where it came from.
Tribute Games made it.
Thank you. And do they make anything else?
Not that I know of. I mean, I feel like this can't be their first one.
No, it can't.
Maybe they've made some indie like alphas or some things, but I think this is their real first outing. It's Flint Hook.
It's not the true game. It's just a tribute.
This is not the greatest game in the world. It's just a tribute. Flint Hook. How do we describe this game, guys? It's a roguelike.
It's like Rogue Legacy. If
there's a movement mechanic, which is a grappling hook.
Yeah.
So that's a big thing.
There's also generational bonuses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kind of like how Rogue Legacy was.
Tyler, I'll explain it. Tell them, did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, it's not something that I wanted to go out and buy.
But now that you've played it.
I mean, $15 ain't bad.
No. And this is a game like Rogue Legacy, like Binding of Isaac and like other roguelikes. It ain't going to be...
a lot of play out of it.
Yeah, it's not a game where you can just easily beat the levels unless you have a very high objective skill. So the way the game works is...
Oh, man. I'm so sorry. They did Mercenary Kings, which is probably one of my... the games that I want to play the most. The reason I want a PS4.
Mercenary Kings. I think I played a little bit of that with my younger brother. But yeah, okay. So yeah, it makes sense. This is not their first outing. Flint Hook is a game about a guy named Flint Hook. He is a pirate and he uses the giant hook to attack other pirate ships. You're bounty hunter. So the way the game works is that you find a bounty and then you go into these randomly generated different... You get to choose at the beginning.
Pirate ships.
Yeah, they're pirate ships. And you're going to plunder them, and then you're going to beat the boss. And if you beat the boss, you get the giant treasure chest, which gives you a ghost gem. And once you collect a certain amount of ghost gems, your little compass dude, who's like a little...
slime.
Yeah, a little slime guy. He'll show you where the actual boss is. You go and fight him. As you do this, you gain gold. You gain little green totem things that you can unlock permanent upgrades at the black market. Things that give you more XP, make you move faster, upgrade weaponry. And then when you start an actual run into to plunder a pirate ship, you get to pick a bunch of different perk cards. And you have a certain allotment of how many perks you can choose. These things give you things like quicker movement, more XP, more health, better sub-weapons. Yeah, all that stuff. But it plays really nicely. It's fast. It's
very fast. There are a lot of different mechanics all laced in there.
Very tight. Very tight controls.
I would say the controls are tight. I feel like it's a game that plays better on PC than it plays on console. All of us played it on console. I would like to put my hands on it on a PC and see how it works with mouse and keyboard. But I feel like it is a game kind of like Enter the Gungeon that we played last week is probably better on PC. Let's talk about the visual style, because much like Mercenary Kings, this game is all about its style, its aesthetic, visually speaking.
Does this game have outlines?
I don't think so, actually. What? Clarify.
Like, do the characters have outlines, like black outlines?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either, now that you mention it. No. I didn't even consider that. And actually, that's kind of...
They're pixel arty, but they're not, like, super hard. It's more like 32... No, it's got to be more than that. It's.
I don't think it is.
Is it like 16-bit?
Well, 16-bit.
But with a much bigger color palette.
Yeah. And less thick outlines.
I feel like it's 32-bit.
I think that's one of my only criticisms of the game is the... Be. Just the sheer chaos of like... The background design of things that aren't really important to the
action. The game is very colorful, and sometimes it can be cluttered. Yeah, it can be visually unappealing when you're playing, but looking at it from an objective view of like, wow, this is a cool looking thing. It looks cool, but sometimes it clashes. Kevin.
Yes.
Real quick.
Yo.
The music in this game.
Dude, so good.
Fucking smack so it on. Turn it on.
Let me just give you a little taste of that. You ready? Right here.
Yeah.
It's like one of the few games that I booted up and I heard the music and I'm like, okay, I'm actually going to watch this intro before I play.
Yeah, the intro is crazy.
It's super good.
I don't know why you guys would ever not watch an intro before you play a game.
I don't know.
Well, not all intros are really that good or succinct to how the game is.
Clearly, you've never played Persona.
Okay, I have played Persona. I played the intro. It took me 2.5 hours and I'm still in the middle of it. Flint Hook is a great time, but once again, it is a roguelike and it's something that we're going to have to play a little bit more. I've made it past the first boss and I'm struggling with the second. Kevin, how are you at?
I'm level 10, which isn't that far. I mean, it's probably at least an hour to an hour and a half into the game, but I have not beaten the first boss
yet. It's important to note that as you play, if you die, all the experience gold you made goes towards some sort of... That's my computer making a noise. It goes towards... Oh my god, don't you do this to me, computer.
Shouts out to computer, the studio computer.
It goes... if you die... All your gold and all your black market money, it goes into like an XP thing, and you gain levels, and based upon your level, that's how many different things you can hold, et cetera, et cetera. So there is like permanent progression.
You also die in real life.
Yeah, if you die in the game, you die in real life. Imagine a dead guy completely under dirt. Kevin is level 10. I'm like level 14, rank 14 or 13.
I think you're rank 3, and I beat the game. I'm not really sure which guys are bothering with.
If you don't die, you don't rank up.
Right. You do rank up. I only got to 3 after I beat the game.
Well, it's okay. So it's a game that I'm sure we'll talk about more. It's a game that'll pop up in GOTY 2017 for sure. I cannot give it a hard score yet. I don't think
Kevin is right. Yeah, I can't either.
Give it at least an 8.5.
I'd say yeah. It's probably
I would say
be
first blush, yeah. A5's a good solid score.
I would agree. We'll wrap up later, maybe a few episodes from now once we have finally finished this off, guys. Yeah, now is the time that you've all been waiting for.
The best time is nigh. Now
it's Adderall. This episode and most episodes are brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is the world's leading audiobook provider. You can go to audibletrial.com/SGC64. Get a free audiobook today for all of Super Gamecast 64 listeners. Guys, you might be wondering like, but I don't really listen to audiobooks. Like, what is a good audiobook? Guys, let's give them some suggestions. And once again, it's not a pick and choose from a list kind of deal. If you go to audibletrial.com/SGC64, you can pick any audiobook on the website, something as cheap as Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them for only $15, absolutely free, or something as big as Stephen King's It, which is, I think, $45 for absolute free.
Well, they did have a 50% off sale right now going on, which is very worth it.
Like, it's important to note that the Audible trial... you get a token a month. That's their kind of subscription thing. You get a free token for signing up with the trial for through us, and that book equates to a free audiobook. But you can buy off their store. It's an Amazon store. So
the way it works is if somebody else has that book, you have to put your token on the on the cabinet to indicate your place in line.
And then you beat them at the book.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you know the book. Like, how are you supposed to remember?
I've always wondered that, and
that bugs the crap out of me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I didn't grow up in that era, but
that's a really good point.
I did. I just at tail end of it, Marvel's Capcom 1. Guys, we're talking about audiobooks.
Well, so here's the thing: I take issue with this because I know what you've been thinking. It's been a while since Kevin has had one of his harebrained ideas to make some money. Well, I ran out of money from Audio Baby, so I started something new. It's called Fletniks.
Fletniks. Okay.
So what it is
Netflix?
It's an entire Netflix is an entire. So I what I do is I go onto Netflix and I watch entire seasons of popular TV shows.
Okay.
And then I
he
download
does this for you.
Well, no. What I do is I download their the screenwriting
the action.
No, yeah. Not even just the closed caption.
The script.
The actual script with like full like direction and everything. And I read it. So I read it to you, and so the Fuller Houser.
Yeah.
That whole season, maybe two. I don't know. I don't remember. It was really long. I read everything. Joey walks into the room. I don't think Joey's in Fuller House.
No, he's not.
I don't know. I haven't watched it.
How much is it?
$63.42 a month.
I thought that was your one-time fee.
No, that's unlimited access for a month to all six seasons of Buffy the Vampire Slayer that I've read.
And the two seasons of Supernatural you kind of did one
both night. Seasons of Firefly.
Nice!
Both seasons of Firefly.
The second one is a fan-made season by yours truly.
This is how you know this guy is legit. It also takes place between the first season and the movie.
That's right.
So if you want, you can sign up for Netflix.
That, what's it called? Serendipity?
Serendipity.
The Firefly.
Movie. So the lightning bug.
So you can sign up for Netflix. You'll have to hit up Kevin because he's not sponsoring this.
I have to call my number personally, and then I read it to you over the phone.
He's just jacking this ad roll for his own personal gain. Let's go back to the sponsor. audibletrial.com/SGC64. Get a free audiobook written by great novelist people and read to you by even greater reader people. I have been listening to Stephen King's It, and today I got a brand new one, guys. Stephen King's The Dead Zone, read by James Franco.
It's out?
Yes.
I didn't know it was out today.
The first time ever that Stephen King's classic, The Dead Zone, has been on audiobook ever. Kevin.
I actually applied to Audible to be a reader.
Can't just do that.
But no, I did, though, and apparently you have to know how to read.
You have to be literate to work for the Audible company.
Fuck me, right? I guess.
So wait, how are you planning on... We'll talk about that later. I just want to know.
Okay, so if you guys are sitting there and you're like, all right, what's the catch? Guys, there really is no catch. Just like any other Netflix or Hulu or anything, sign up for the site. If you forget about it, you're going to have to pay for a month. But if you're an adult and you remember days, if you don't like it, you can cancel it. But I started off with the trial.
Days.
And if you don't remember what day things are, then you're going to forget your life.
And you know what's great about Audible is you don't have to know how to read to enjoy it.
Yeah, you just
have to know how to talk.
Well, I mean,
you have to understand the English language. Sometimes not. Sometimes, like, it's in German or whatever.
Guys, let's give them some suggestions. Besides The Dead Zone and Stephen King's It, how about American Gods by Neil Gaiman? Mm, there's a new TV adaptation coming out for that.
Yes, that is a very, very good book.
Yeah, so check that one out.
Pick that one up.
Yeah, no, Norse Mythology by Neil Gaiman is really good, too. Ocean at the End of the Lane is really good.
Anasi Boys
is really good. I'm working my way through, I think I called him Patrick, but his actual name is Peter V. Brett. Okay. I think I called him Patrick last time. There's Go Dog Go and Hop on Pop by Dr. Seuss.
Green Eggs and Ham, Sam I Am. No, All I Will Not you. Get In Your Van.
The Lorax.
You can also get great books like The Bible.
The Bible, the Quran, the Torah. The
lore guide for Blizzard's Hero of the Storm.
Oh,
I don't know if that's actually a thing.
Prima strategy guide for Secret of Mana.
That's definitely not a thing you can get. All right, let's not lie anymore.
Okay,
to our listeners.
All right.
You can get novels, brand new releases, things that are older, anything in between. Even great self help books like The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck or You Are Great at Making Money. Those are on the top charts.
The Subtle Art is a very good book.
You can get all these books for free. Well, not all of them. You can get one book for free by going to audibletrial.com/SGC64. If you like the service, go ahead and continue on. Get yourself some audiobooks. Get that good learning. If you don't, it's fine. Just cancel your subscription. No money lost. And you will still have that audiobook after you cancel it. So that's an important thing, guys. If you just want a free audiobook, audibletrial.com/SGC64. Pick it, download it, and you can cancel it right after if you don't like it. But I'm having a great time with Audible, and we hope you will, too.
I got one more ad for you.
Good.
This show is brought to you by viewers like you.
Yeah, guys.
Thank you.
I really enjoy it. Keep on dropping them comments.
For real, though, I do want to shout out. Like, we love when we hear from our fans. We love when we hear from people. Hit us up on Twitter. Rate us on iTunes. Just find a way to send me a pigeon. I don't care. Like, just let us know you're out there, because we love hearing from you.
Yeah.
And if you do comment, if you do leave us a review, we will we'll feed that review into the review robot.
2K12 3000.
I've been keeping them nice and polished up.
Just been polishing his lower area.
This is the robot that reads
below
our
the belly button.
If
that kind of
new to the show.
No.
Is that part shinier than the rest of the robot?
I think it's time.
But yes, thank you.
That we had to end this ad roll. Thank you, Audible, and thank you to all of our amazing viewers. Let's go back to the show.
Yeah.
You played a game. Oh, by the way, thanks to Psychic Type for our awesome ad roll
Hell
music.
Yeah.
Psychic Type, if you guys have never checked them out, they are an EDM group of composers. Might be just one dude. I don't even know. They make cool video game stuff. Other great tracks by them. That was Pocket Monsters by Psychic Type. Other great tracks, Victory Road. Yeah.
There's a lot. Mount Goon.
Yeah.
Indigo Plateau.
Indigo Plateau.
Just a lot of Pokemon.
There's Pokemon stuff, references. But yeah, thanks a bunch to Psychic Type. Speaking of old school games and games that give you that old school vibe, Kevin, you got to play more of Yooka-Laylee since the last show. I gave it a 9.5 in my review. You said you were going to give it a 9.6, but I think your wind, you've changed your mind.
The bloom has fallen off the rose.
So give them your official score for Yooka-Laylee.
I hate to sandbag this game because I wanted it to be that range of scores.
And you wanted it to be Banjo.
Had faith. I wanted it to be Banjo.
Yeah.
And it's not Banjo.
It is.
So it's not fair for me to give it a bad score, but I certainly don't think, like, I think you put it best earlier when we were referring to another game that we're going to be talking about here shortly. Once you played it, you kind of, you did it. You know, you played it, you know how it plays. You know, I didn't find myself getting really excited for the transformations in each world.
Yeah, I can't admit that.
And,
I didn't, you know, the
coolest one, in my opinion, was in, excuse me, the Halloween world. And, you know, it just...
It didn't sit with you as well as you thought it would.
It didn't. It didn't have the longevity that I thought it was going to be. And unfortunately, that was one of the two games I intended to beat this year. So we'll see if that still remains true. I'm going to see this one through because... You know, as I keep playing it, it does keep getting better. I will admit that. World 2 was just a real stinker.
Yeah.
I was not a fan of that.
So, okay, you've come to your conclusion. You're ready to give it a score. What's your score?
I'm going
to
give it a 7.5.
And that brings the official score down, I believe, to around an 8.25. So SGC64 giving out a solid 8 collectively. Tyler, you played a little bit of it, I believe.
I mean, it was definitely 8 material.
Mm-hmm. So 8.25 for Yooka-Laylee Collective from SGC64. Congratulations, Yooka-Laylee, on somewhat reaching your aspirations to be the Banjo-Kazooie 3 that we never got. I thought it was better than Kevin did, but then again, different strokes for different folks, different pokes for different yokes. Guys, another game. This is one I played. I don't know if you guys have played this when it came out originally. This is a 14-year-later remaster.
I did not even know this game existed.
The 2003 Xbox original title by Bleep Games, or Bleep Industries, I think.
Now you got to make me look up the old game to see how this one was.
I can tell you very quickly, Voodoo Vince Remastered is just Voodoo Vince, but with a slight visual update. So if you never played it... Now's the time to learn.
It's cute.
So what Voodoo Vince is it's a story of a voodoo doll named Vince. His mistress, the mystical Madame Charmaine, who runs a mystical voodoo shop out of New Orleans, gets kidnapped by Cosmo the Inscrutable. He also steals her zombie dust, which gives him supernatural powers, and thus begins Vince's adventure, due to his telepathic connection to Madame Charmaine, to hunt down Cosmo.
And his uncanny ability to throw out one-liners.
Yeah, he's a funny kind of guy, sarcastic, in a way. And he starts his adventure to go rescue his mistress, and that is the basis of our game, Voodoo Vince. It's a linear platformer. Kevin, did you ever play the original?
I never did, no.
Nor did I, and I don't think Tyler, you did either.
Didn't own an Xbox.
Okay, so, I mean, this is, like I said, this is 2003. This is kind of launch era Xbox One, or Xbox original. I didn't play it, nor did any of us. This is my first time playing through, Kevin's first time playing through. I guess the real question now is, does it hold up 14 years later? In 2017, is Voodoo Vince still an enjoyable game?
I had a good time with it. You know, I probably won't go back to it very much, but... The one thing that really surprised me, I hate to sound like a broken record, because I do end up saying this a lot, but the music surprised me for being a 14-year-old game.
Well, I think also as you grow up, you start to appreciate every aspect of a game's design.
That could be it, but like games... Okay, so for example, games like Halo really wielded music well back then. But other than that, I can't really think of a whole lot of titles that... really knocked me back with the music that they had.
Yeah, I mean, if I thought about it, I could probably think about it.
Like Jet Set, obviously.
Yeah, but 2003 to 2005, like that late PS2, that whole era, like, Sony games are the ones bringing the music. Yeah. You didn't really see anything on Xbox that was crazy.
Right.
So just Jet Set then. on Xbox.
Basically, yeah, and like Halo. But music-wise, it's good. It's haunting. It's kind of like it's atmospheric.
It's got a really nice Louisiana feel to it. It's got jazz. It's got a little Creole. Like it's fun, you know. Yeah. And it's a cute little game. Mechanically, I had some frustrations with the jumping.
Yeah, I mean, it's 2003 game design.
The double jump thing really screwed me a lot.
It took me a while to get used to it. You have to press... when you in double jumping in standard modern games or something like Ukulele, you can press A, and then you can press A again at any point during your elevation to double jump. But in this one, you must hit A again before the apex of your jump. So if you're used to making late adjustments on your double jump, it's not going to work whatsoever. So
I died so many times just
for that. But the thing that's important to note about Voodoo Vince is, unlike modern day games, it's not open world. It's very linear. There's four different kind of worlds, if you want to call them, but most of them are just like, here's a hub, and then you're going to go to the different worlds that are kind of, or the levels that are in the world. You got things like a haunted mansion, a swamp, a carnival, the streets of Louisiana in the beginning. Fun stuff. Very linear. You're just going to collect collectibles, and there's some light puzzle solving.
The one thing I did like about it is that it didn't, other than an odd amount of exposition for a game that old.
Yeah.
At the beginning. Other than that, they didn't really waste a whole lot of time explaining each level. I remember specifically there was a level where you had to light these gas pumps on fire.
Yeah.
And the first thing you run into is a rocket stuck in the side of a building that lights you on fire. And so you can run this whole, like, French Quarter street lighting these gas lines on fire. And you can just, in the first shot, without even trying, without even thinking too much about why you're lighting these gas pumps on fire, you can beat that level, and it's kind of nice.
It's a game that's more about the design and the different little challenges they'll throw at you, the fun little characters you'll meet along the way. Yep. It's not trying to tell a lasting impacting and like story that has a lot of meaning. It's just trying to be fun. It's cool because it's got the whole voodoo, the black magic. It's a little bit darker in tone and comedy than your standard platformer. A lot of collectibles. Collectibles lead to letting you store more health, store more voodoo powers. That was kind of my favorite part of the game, is just your old 2000 or early 2000s clear move. You hit all both triggers at once.
Yep.
And then depending on if you've collected enough different totems, you'll get different animations where something like a big old boot will stomp Voodoo Vince, or a big old chainsaw will cut him in half, and then it kills all of the enemies in the same area kind of in the same way. So it's something cute. It's fun. It's $15.
It is. The voodoo powers are really what sold me on it.
It'll take you anywhere from 9 to maybe 20 hours if you're going to 100% it. I ran it up by like 15 hours, and I got out of the three different kinds of collectibles, you could say, I got 100% of 2 out of 3. So I didn't go for 100% completion, but I took my time, 15 hours. I think $1 an hour a price for Voodoo Vince is definitely worth the price. Mm-hmm. As a game itself, I gave it a 7 out of 10 when I reviewed it.
It's a good rainy day game.
Yeah, it's a good rainy day game, something you can beat in maybe, you know, 2 or 3 sittings and have a good old-fashioned time. So, well, that's weird.
Hmm.
Yeah, I heard it too.
It's like it's coming in.
Guys, it was silent. I don't know how you heard that.
This week in Tokyo! Last week on This Week in Tokyo, Tyler entered the world of Persona 5, where he found so many people to be friends with. Now, on This Week in Tokyo, Tyler will tell us more about Shibuya and what he's been doing inside of the dream world that is Persona 5. This week in Tokyo! Tyler.
I do want to reiterate that at the beginning of this segment, that I will not be spoiling any sort of this story.
No spoilers.
Whatsoever.
No spoilers.
Because Persona 5 is such an excellent story-driven game.
It's all about the story. What happened this week? Well, you spent a lot of time in Tokyo this week.
I think I'm up to 29 hours now.
That's quite a bit.
Yep.
It's no Monster Hunter hours, but it's pretty good.
Right, but...
that's quite a few hours.
Like, Monster Hunter is just a straight grind with no story. But it's
Persona
fun.
Persona 5 is nothing but that story. So, without spoiling... Have you made it through the first dungeon? I dropped my drink.
Made it through the second dungeon.
Nice, dude. How many friends you got?
I have 4. I have 4 major friends, let's say.
You had any girlfriends yet?
No.
Mm.
I'm not kind enough. No, I don't think he's that into me.
Everyone knows that in Persona 5, the girl with the orange hair and the headphones is the hottest. Everyone knows this.
GA's awesome, man.
There's Anne, and she's the one with like the blonde hair
and the pigtails,
and she's cute. But like we all know that the girl with the red hair and the headphones is the coolest.
I mean, I haven't met her yet.
I don't even know her name. You've never even played this game, Kevin.
I played P4 Golden. I played a little bit of P4 Golden.
Okay,
it's completely different characters.
Uh huh. Nah.
Yeah.
So like, if you had to pick a P4 character that is waifu material, who would you pick?
Oh well. None of them.
Yes. He played it for like 2 seconds. All right, let's zone in on P5.
That's a really good point.
That's what This Week in Tokyo is about. It's about P5. So you beat the second boss?
I've defeated the second boss.
Did you have a nice date or any sort of social outing that you would like to recall?
No, because I was too focused on grinding it out so that I could focus more on the story.
So you found yourself giving more towards, like, because a lot of this game is time management, deciding whether or not you want to build social links, yes, if you want to do dungeons.
When you enter the dungeon,
yes,
that is all you can do for the remainder of that day.
Okay.
But you can spend as much time as you want in there. You can spend upwards of 12 hours in there, which I may have done.
Just once or twice by accident.
Well, I'm doing it on purpose because I'm only in there until I can't be in there any longer. Because
they time you, right?
No. Sort of. One of the dungeons, yes, they do time you.
Uh-huh.
And they'll kick you out by murdering you.
Oh, that's not nice.
No, it's not. If you hear chains, run. That means you've been there too long.
So, story, compared to P4, would you say that this story is... We don't want to spoil, so adjectives. Is it darker? Is it funnier?
Funnier. It's punkier. Okay. It's similar.
I did get a punk vibe from it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's straight up punk groove. I love it. I mean...
What did you name your clan?
The Amalgamates.
The Amalgamates.
Yeah.
The Wu-Tang Clan.
Like, mates? Like...
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's really cool.
I mean, I'm not even gonna...
Are they pre-rendered, or did you come up with that?
You get to name them.
You get to name pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
In this thing. It's kind of like Chrono Trigger.
I'm sorry. No, I mean, like...
No, you don't.
Do you get to choose from a list of names, or did you come up with that?
I actually asked Tyler to come up with it, so...
That's hilarious. Either way.
Yeah.
It's great.
Anyway... So, my group of Phantom Thieves, yeah, we run like level 20.
Nice.
Pre-boss,
okay,
of the second dungeon, which is a little high. So he was not hard. Yeah, I mean, but like, I feel like it's an efficient use of my time if I go into the dungeon and I'm there until I can't be there any longer. So if that's all I can do that day, I'm going to burn through as much of the dungeon as I can, get as many of the levels as I can, collect all of the items, fuse, and that's what I do. I'm
so This Week in Tokyo, lots of grindy,
lots of
dungeons,
lots of finishing.
Okay,
happened.
So maybe next week in Tokyo.
It's going to be social.
Getting social. Turn on that butterfly.
Oh, man. After the first dungeon, I had a good solid 12 days.
Nice.
Where I could go do whatever I wanted. And I explored all three areas to their maximum potential.
Cool.
Used every single facility that you can. And just like in P4, it's pretty much there's a diner, there's the
drive-in, there's a dive. There's Guy Fieri
making hot Cheeto fries.
Hot Cheeto fries for your friends, for you and your best friends, your very, very best friends to eat and listen to punk groove music.
That doesn't happen.
And then you go to swim practice together.
That is something. Can't you do?
And then you go to band.
I don't think.
How many different activities really are there?
Lots.
Lots of activities.
Lots.
Other question. I know you're in a band. What do you play?
I'm not in a band.
Don't lie to me.
I'm not that far, man.
Our social link is going down right now because you're lying to me.
Oh.
If I were a Sim, I would have one of those little negative bubbles above my head with your face next to it.
Of all the things that I should have played and did not play The Sims.
All right. I think, are we...
What do you stroke do you swim?
Shut the fuck up.
Butterfly.
There it is.
it's not a thing. I'm not on a sports team yet.
Is there a team?
There's a track team and there's a newspaper club.
Wow, so many options.
Newspaper club,
I don't
obviously.
Know of anything else yet. I mean, it's probably just not open.
Well, we'll get...
We're not there.
We'll get there.
He's not far enough in the school
next
year.
Time. Well,
I'm not.
All right, it's fine.
I am late May.
Okay.
And...
My birthday.
May 24th?
No. Close.
That's what day I'm on.
Yeah, May 24th.
You got a ways to go, my dude.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I'm not even to the part where they're like, you can't stream this anymore.
Yeah, that's like July.
That's early July. Yeah, I have 2 months worth of content to get through before it's like, wow, now it's changed.
This week in Tokyo, for me, I watched my little brother beat the end of the game, so I won't spoil it. I don't even know what I saw because I have no context for it, but it was pretty cool, I guess. Had a cool ending cutscene kind of thing.
Last time in P4, when I finished P4, it was so good.
So good.
It's like, you know what's going to happen. You know what you got to do. But then there's like this side thing kind of going on, and you're like, well, wait a minute, what about this guy? And then that happens, and it's just fucking tangent through the wall, around the world, comes back, just slams back into it. You get it. Maybe you don't.
It's a lot of good. JRPG Persona 5 has lots of good storytell. So does P4. We'll catch back up next week in Tokyo. But for now, that was this week in Tokyo. Let's go to Kevin.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Mo.
It's me. What?
Following along with the show here, buddy?
Yeah.
What are we talking about now?
We're talking about League of Legends.
So, League of Legends had new champions come out. Kevin, briefly tell us what they do, who they are, and how they play. Briefly, please, because we're running long.
We have the Lovebirds.
Yes.
It is the first dual champion release since, I believe, Xin Zhao and Lee Sin were released around the same time.
But they're not, like, husbands.
Actually,
they're just known as the Lovers.
Well, no, he's talking about Lee Sin and Zin
Zhao. Oh, okay. Yeah.
They are not husbandos.
Yeah. These two are.
But if they were, we all know love is blind. It's funny because Lee Sin is a blind monk. Anyway, we have Rakan and Zaya. They are a brand new race in the League lore. I don't remember a whole lot about them or what they're called. I didn't read into the lore yet.
It's okay.
They're like changelings. They're like bird people.
Yeah.
Each of them have one wing, which is kind of cool.
There's an A word for them, I think.
Yeah, I can't remember what it is.
Homunculus or abomination.
Did you say homunculus?
Homunculus
is something completely different.
But they introduced a new race as well.
Okay. Tell me more about what they play like.
So,
give me them good deets.
You have Zaya, who is an AD carry. They're the range damage dealers of the game.
She throws quills.
She does. She throws her feathers, which is really cool.
Wow.
And then you have Rakan, who is her lover and support.
He supports her all day.
So her main mechanic is throwing those quills. She has a skill shot that allows you to throw two in a successive line. Damage is the first thing it hits. But wherever it hits, it lands a quill on the ground.
Okay.
That slowly decay with time. She also has an ability that increases her attack speed, and whenever she attacks, it also throws a quill on the ground wherever it hits. So
it's
kind of
like Misfortune's W, but plus with like runons kind of thing.
Not quite. It's actually almost more like Syndra, where you have these things that don't impede movement or anything like that, but they exist on the field, and you kind of have to be aware of where they are because your E move brings them all back to you.
Oh, cool.
So what that does is it slows them. It deals a ton of damage.
That's probably really rude for A rounds.
Oh, it's so much fun. Her ult, she does kind of like a Quinn thing where she vaults into the air and flies around for a few seconds and then sends out a ton of these quills in a fan in front of her, at which point you can then combine them with how many you've already thrown out and then pull them all back to you and just wreck the entire team.
Have you played much of Rakan yet?
I played one game of Rakan in a practice mode, which kind of sucked because I didn't have anybody to support. But some of my favorite mechanics regarding him is his Q is also a skill shot. But after you cast it, if you hit somebody with it, you have a few seconds to walk to a ally. If you do, you give them a slight heal, which is really cool. Yeah, you give them a little kiss.
Just, but what if they're like homophobic and they don't want a kiss from a man? Did they lose life?
Yes.
I'm looking at you, Urgot, you disgusting flesh bag.
Oh my god, Rakan supporting Urgot.
Anyway, so you're, I don't remember the order of the E and the W, I just know that one of them allows you to dash to an ally, and one of them allows you to dash to an enemy, at which point you knock everybody up in an area.
Oh, so kind of like an Alistair thing.
Exactly. So you dash towards them.
Except it's all in one button, and it's hell of a lot easier.
Yes. You don't have to combo like a good kid.
Mm-hmm. So one of my favorite things about these two is that not only are they touted as the Lovebirds, but they play like you would imagine Lovebirds
were. Yeah, they're very symbiotic.
In that, if one of them is returning to base, the other can join them. So they can hop on board, basically, and ride back
like
with
dual
them.
Recall.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
And there's a really cool animation to it and everything. Also, one of the few champions I played that has, like, 8 or 9 different, like, voice lines in when you do the joke.
Oh, really? Things like that. They're starting to do that more.
There's a lot.
That's a definite thing. I know when they redid...
Warwick?
Ooh, no, before that.
Galio?
That was after.
Yeah, shit, I don't know.
It was quite a while ago. It was months that we're talking here. But you know what? I think it's Tarek. Yeah.
She's my favorite character, Tarek.
Tarek's my favorite character.
I know. Tarek is...
So when they redid him, they gave him a number of voice lines that talk to each other character, numbering like 80.
Nice.
He had 80 different lines they had to put into the game.
Damn. Means that really, even then, he's an older character, so they're going back. It's like League 2.0. Instead of doing like a League of Legends 2, they just kind of redid everything.
And really, he just talks to the old characters a lot more.
Well, there you go. Guys, League of Legends is fun, but it's not for everyone. These kind of games are also not for everyone, but Tyler likes them quite a bit. Briefly, as we pull into the end of this, because we do have one more segment. I don't want to butcher the name of this game. Let's go.
So I call it VOEZ.
Okay, I'd probably say the same.
I'm not sure.
It's VOEZ, right?
yes. This game was released on Switch. It's a rhythm game. It's closer to, like, the week after launch was when this was released. A decent price point of $25. I think there are 414 tracks available.
Nice.
It's big. It's something.
For a rhythm game, having that many tracks is really, really, really good.
The play style, it's like a fluctuating piano is what I'm going to go with.
Okay.
Where you can definitely see the song being played on the keys in the background.
Nice.
But you have to tap a different rhythm as it falls.
Hmm.
Like Guitar Hero.
Okay.
But you don't have to like press A, B, X, Y. You're just tapping the screen.
So is this only playable on the Switch?
No. I recently found out that it was released on the App Store.
Oh.
The Google Play Store, excuse me. So this $25 game for Switch is free on mobile.
With ads, I'm assuming, probably.
To start, yeah.
Okay.
Wait,
free to start or free to play?
Well, I know that I just downloaded it and started playing it, but, like, they give you one song for free, and then you earn keys, and you have to get up to, like, a certain score to unlock the story.
I would rather just buy it for $25.
Well, sure, and you could just go right into it, but, well, I mean, it's free.
Yeah, so if you are listening to this and you're like, oh, I like a little Guitar Hero-esque kind of rhythm game, if you have an Android phone, I mean, it might be on... Is it on the App Store or is it just Google Play?
I know it's Google Play.
It is on the App Store.
Okay.
I just looked it up.
So we have VOEZ, whatever, EZ.
Sure.
VOEZ is on Switch, and it's free on App Store and Google Play.
I do want to mention this is like a Japanime high school kind of rhythm game.
Most rhythm games that aren't like Guitar Hero are pretty Japanime.
I'm going to try it and let you guys know what I think.
Next time?
Next time.
Are you really?
Good.
It's a big game, dude.
Yeah, it's kind of like
a 64 gig expandable memory.
It's same as the guys.
Oh, mine's built in.
Who did Cytus, right?
Yes, Rayark. Mm-hmm. Rayark okay. Studios.
So if you guys played Cytus, we talked about that a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. You also probably enjoyed this game. All right, Tyler, let's finish this off. Kind of going back to like This Week in Tokyo, but not really. We got SMT4. It's Shin Megami Tensei 4. You're playing this on what, 3DS, right?
3DS, that's correct.
Tell the people.
So when I was playing P4, I had to get my fix of Atlus games. And this is one of the games I picked up.
So it's also made by the people at Persona.
Yeah, it's an Atlus game.
You run around with demons, I hear?
You run around by yourself, and then you try to scout demons.
So there's demons that you're... It's like a labyrinthian kind of game, right? This is what I remember Shin Megami Tensei to be. Like, it's kind of like a corridor. You're going and you're exploring the dungeons.
Well,
like first person, kind of?
It's third person.
Third person, okay.
And it is not it's not like you have to go through a different dungeon every time. Mm-hmm. The Naraku dungeon that is, I guess, wow, I didn't know I knew that word.
when you know lore, you didn't think you would.
It is, it's preset.
Sounds like
second word
set.
It's a preset dungeon. It's a built dungeon. It's not like it's generated every time.
Rungeon.
So I played something like 6.5 hours before I got into a real
out-of-tutorial game, right?
Oh boy.
Okay.
I hit a point where I've just been running around in a circle, a literal circle, grinding.
That's what I remember from Shin Megami Tensei. It's very grindy.
Oh my god, I cannot beat this boss.
P5 is more about the story and like getting there, you have to grind, but Shin Megami Tensei is always about like hit these battles over and over and over, make your guys strong.
I didn't know it was a thing, and now I know it's a thing, and I hate it.
Well, you learn, you love, you lost. It's okay. Maybe we'll hear more about it if you give it another go.
I'm going to keep playing it because P5 is a home studio.
Oh, and this is
I need my Atlas fix. Okay.
Jesus.
So SMT 4 3DS, a little bit of an older game.
You're taking on two huge Atlas games at once.
I am. And after I beat both of those, like, I'm going to do P3 at
It's just funny.
And I'm probably going to do P4.
You play a game about having a social life while destroying your own.
I mean, yeah, to play P5, you kind of have to just, like, give up
no game, no
100
life.
Hours of your life.
I have friends.
No, but to be honest, like, you're not joking. Both Zach and my little brother have beaten this game. Or Persona 5, speaking of Zach, I think his first playthrough was 120 hours, and Dan's was about 95 hours, but he chose to grind up to 92 to get, like, one of the guys or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I need to get that last guy on the last tree for the one thing, and then just blow through the rest of the game.
So Kevin's not really just being a dick. Like, it's kind of funny that the game is all about being social, but you have to dedicate so many hours of your day.
It is really a joke.
If you have... a friend that you know that's gonna play this game too, then you have someone you can talk to.
Yeah, that
during
is,
this
if you
play.
Or a friend have been experiencing lack of communication
you
due to Persona 5, please call 555
Persona 5.
High School Simulator Persona 5.
Please call 555 PERSON 5.
555 Persona. That's 555 Persona.
Side effects may include losing all your friends
and erections.
Oh, those are the best kind. Here's a bit we haven't done in a minute. Tyler. This is Tyler's bit. Well, it's kind of like me and Tyler's thing we did together.
I don't remember the last time we did New Game Plus.
New Game Plus, motherfuckers! Well, it's just because it happened to land when we were recording. It's out. Unfortunately, we only have 50% of the New Game Plus segment because Sony... because Sony's Sony, they did not release the games that are coming out in May, but these...
Oh, you're talking about... We're talking May time now.
Yeah, this by the time...
I was like, I don't see any of the games I know are on there.
Yeah. Right now.
So, for May, which will be, like in a few days after you listen to this...
So what you're saying is it's going to be May.
This is the New Game Plus Xbox for It's Gonna Be May. That was my Justin Timberwolf... Gianna Sisters, Twister Dreams, Director's Cut.
Is this...
What in the hell is that?
It's not like a sequel. It's the original, right?
No, this is Gianna Sisters, Twister
Dreams.
That
sounds like one of those horse racing simulator.
Like, no, this is like that stupid Shantae game you like a lot.
Hey, this Shantae is not stupid.
Well, but you're talking shit on a game you probably like.
I take you
love this game
to that, sir.
Well, so, maybe you should learn what Gianna Sisters is before you call it a horse sim, you jackass.
Why does it have so many words in the name, though?
I don't know. It's because it's
Tom
Sisters,
Clancy's
360. Gianna Sisters Twisted
900 degrees.
I mean, they absolutely could have just called this game Twister Dreams.
Yeah,
and that would have been fine. But, like, describing...
I think it's called Twisted Dreams, actually.
I
think you're right.
It's what if it was the Twisted Gianna Sisters...
The Twisted Dreams. Sisters.
The Twisted Sisters Dreams.
Dreams of Twistitude.
All right, so Gianna Sisters Twisted Dreams Director's Cut is...
an action platformer where you play as the Gianna Sisters. One that exists in one plane of existence, the other in a different plane. But they move in tandem.
So it's like Guacamelee, but it's two people instead of one... one guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fun time, right?
I'm trying to remember how Guacamelee was like this other than action platformer.
Guacamelee, you could switch between the different...
I don't think I got that far.
The more okay, so in Guacamelee, you could press like a trigger and you switch between like the dead zone and like the... Oh, Living Zone, well, different platforms pop up.
Well, that's basically the same as this. Like, you switch from the pink dress to the purple dress or whatever.
I think Guacamelee stole it from Gianna Sisters, because Gianna Sisters is an older game. It's
oh, really?
Gianna Sisters? I think that's been going
on. It's an older game, sir, but it checks out.
Thanks. Thanks, bud. Beyond Gianna Sisters, which will be free at the 1st of May to the 16th of May, or maybe it's the whole month. I can't. But it will be
the whole month.
But it will be the first. You can get it on the first. Besides that, midweek or mid month, you'll be getting Lara Croft and the Temple of Osiris. This is a kind of top down cooperative adventure with Lara Croft. It's a lot of not dungeon crawling, but you know, you go into crypts and tombs. You're doing little puzzle solving stuff. It's actually a pretty decent game. Looks pretty damn good, and it'll take you quite a bit of time. But it's a really fun co-op game. There's two of them. Temple of Osiris is the newer one. Once again, this is Xbox. This isn't PlayStation. But
not to go in the Wayback Machine here, but is Gianna Sisters like a play on Mario Brothers? Like, is that the joke?
I mean, it could be. Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. Honestly,
okay. I mean, if you look at the original artwork from the 1987,
that's what I'm getting at. Like, it's like, that's straight up Mar Bros.
That's Mario Bros.
Yeah, Gianna Sisters is very much like, it's just the one you forgot about. It's been around.
Or didn't know about.
It's the one your grandma got you for Christmas, thinking that it was Mario Brothers.
Put it at the bottom. All right, and then the 360 side, it's Star Wars stuff, guys. Star Wars The Force Unleashed 2. We had Star Wars The Force Unleashed 1 this month. 2 is a good game, but it's like 4 hours long. So if you want to play a game, you want to play a Star Wars game.
Those are the kind of games you play through, and there's just no challenge, but you just feel awesome. Just like throwing people around.
Force Unleashed 2 is good, but it's like 4 hours.
And Force Unleashed 2 is better than the first one, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, but it's just super, super short. So, but it's free, so who gives a shit?
Right.
And then finally, something that's going to be a little bit longer than Force Unleashed 2, LEGO Star Wars Complete Saga.
Mm.
So that is all the little LEGO Star Wars games they released for the 360. Smashed into one. This game is hard. If you've played any of the newer LEGO games like Pirates of the Caribbean, Jurassic World, LEGO Movie, whatever, this ain't the LEGO games of 360 era. These are hard.
This ain't your daddy's LEGO games.
Yeah, no, this is your daddy's LEGO games.
These are your daddy's LEGOs.
These are your daddy's LEGOs. Don't play. You know how sometimes, like, you step on a LEGO and it hurts your foot? That's the that's like this LEGO.
You know,
virtual LEGO hurt your foot.
I want to share a little story with
mind
you.
Too. Go ahead.
This week, I saw my nephews on Sunday, and you know, I gave them my old LEGOs.
Nice.
More so, they were just in my parents' house, and they gave them. Long story short, I love playing with them because it's all my old LEGOs. I get to see all my old ones.
Yeah.
All the cool ones. Well, my nephew comes running up to me this week, and he's shaking this little LEGO that he built in his hands, and he goes, Taco. They call me Taco. It's a long story. Maybe I'll tell it someday. Anyway, he goes, Taco, I got some LEGOs that aren't old. And I was just like, oh.
Oh. Oh, my LEGO. Well, you gotta admit, some of the LEGOs, like, the newer LEGOs,
It's pretty dope. He had a Mr. Freeze, like, mech.
But I kind of want to buy some. I can't see. Every time
You want to subscribe to the Church of Bionicle, don't you?
Dude, no. No. I like building LEGOs.
I subscribe to the Church of Bionicle.
But I don't like spending $60 on a goddamn LEGO set.
Nobody the original does. Set.
I just.
The original.
Guys.
I had the green one.
Once again, your Xbox One games with gold for May will be Gianna Sisters, Twisted Dreams, Director's Cut, Lara Croft and the Temple of Osiris, and then Star Wars Force Unleashed 2, and Star Wars LEGO Star Wars Complete Saga. We'll have the PlayStation ones for you guys next week, or you'll probably already know by then. Guys, it's been a jam-packed episode. A lot of content, a lot of funnies.
Goofy giggles.
Little goofy gigs. Once again, as Kevin said earlier, if you like what you hear, please share it with a friend. It helps quite a bit. Also, give us that 5-star review on iTunes.
That exposure, though,
if you give us if you give us an iTunes review, the Review Robot 2K12-3000, we'll read it off on the show. But also, yeah, those 5-star ratings, you guys have no clue how much that actually helps us in the iTunes store itself. If you guys want to talk to us on any other platforms, you can email us. That's at sgc64mail@gmail.com. If you want to talk to us on Twitter, the official show Twitter is at SuperGameCast64, but my personal one is at SGC64Matt.
I'm at GingerBeard_man, beer like the beverage.
I'm at TeachRomalio.
You can also check us out on Facebook. That's facebook.com/SGC, and then 64 is spelled out, so SGC64. Like I said, drop us an email, the iTunes reviews. Guys, we love you. We love you so hard.
Real quick shout out to Psychotype
once again for the Adderall music. Mm-hmm, thanks again to Audible for sponsoring the show. Thanks to all of you guys. Kevin, Yeah. Do you have a nice game fact for us?
Of course I do.
All right, give me that good game fact.
Of course I do. So, everybody's familiar with the 1990 classic Golden Axe?
Golden Axe. This is the beat-em-upper.
Golden Axe. Here's my clickbait title. Golden Axe has a dark secret.
Oh, no. What is it?
The game was voiced entirely by prisoners on death row.
Are you fucking serious?
Yes, I'm serious.
So Golden Axe, the game that kind of like Sega Genesis, and yeah. was like a huge mm-hmm. arcade. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What?
Those voices are like, now they're even more scary, because they're like kind of like virtualized grunts.
He's just like, I'm afraid to die.
It's just like literal murderers. Like, oh, I don't want to be in this video game. It will take 5 years off of your death sentence. You can die faster. No, okay.
Sweet release.
We will see you next time. And as always,
good night and good luck.
Have fun.
That's not the...
Good night, good luck.
Stick it to your mom.
Fuck, I thought we were changing it.